Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. You know, it's been in the news lately that America has experienced the greatest job growth in the last 50 plus years. And this is really good news. There's no doubt about that. But if you are in charge of hiring people to fill the needs of your organization, that could be a daunting task in this environment and economy. I mean, you have needs that require a special skill type. You can't afford to just hire anyone. You need to make sure the people you are interviewing are right for the job. So how do you do that? Well, my guest today is Kyle Gorman, CEO of Gorman Recruiting. His life's passion is to help you build a high-performing team that you'll be able to depend on and will help your organization to grow and to thrive. Kyle is also the host of the Employer Blueprint podcast, and he's here today to help us understand his unique approach to ministry, which is by helping others in their business. He approaches his work ethic with a unique, distinct plan that has been proven to work, to be prayerful, to be team-centric, and to be adaptive in what he's doing. He's also a husband, father to four children, three boys and one girl. Help me welcome to the program, Kyle Gorman. Kyle, thank you for taking the time to come on the program and share with us today.
Well, Bob, thank you so much. I truly appreciate the opportunity to share with your audience and get to know you and you just get to share this message with other like-minded people out there that are trying to walk their faith every day.
Amen. Now, the first question I always start with, Kyle, is this. Other than that brief bio that I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Kyle Gorman?
Well, you know, you hit on so well, Bob, so many things. And one of the first things that I would say is, as you mentioned, I have an amazing, beautiful wife of almost 15 years. We have four kids. As you can imagine, that takes up a lot of our time. We range from 6 months up to 12 years old. But other than that, you know, I like to consider myself truly a servant, a lover of people. And I truly enjoy business. And my mind, one of the things that it took me a long time to recognize this, but I think that one of the things that God has gifted me is a unique perspective on business. And so my mind tends to work in everything, you know, whether it be things that are happening with my family or, you know, even organizations that I may serve in. I tend to think of everything from a business perspective, and it's taken me a long time to recognize it. But what I've ultimately come to appreciate is that really that's part of how God has hardwired me. And so one of the things that I love to be able to do is share with others that maybe aren't wired the same way and be able to use those gifts to help other people.
Amen. Amen. How did you get started in this line of work?
Well, you know, it's kind of an interesting story because my background was not in recruiting or human resources of any kind. I was I'd served in the financial service industry, but my particular role was always in personnel management. And one of the things that I realized that I, again, was a strength of mine was really just employee relations, building relationships with employees, figuring out how to lead and motivate people in whatever the industry, whatever the capacity was. And so I actually stepped out of my corporate position, started helping my parents' company, a company that they had formed several years before, and they were looking for a succession plan. So I came in originally just to help sort of establish what that would be. But really not a long-term plan of running or taking over that business. Mm-hmm. But in doing that, I started to recognize a need in the small business community. You know, I'd gone from this corporate environment into now helping run the small business that my parents had. I'd built a lot of relationships with other small business leaders. And what I found was there was a big need and a huge struggle in the business environment for people to understand how to recruit, retain, develop, and lead people in the small business community. And so basically I just said, well, there's a need here. Let me do some research and see if I can help fill that need. And that's what ultimately led to the recruiting business. So although I still don't have a traditional background in human resources per se, my focus is really on people. And whenever I'm working with a business and a business leader, I'm trying to understand them and their personality and sort of the culture of the business. And then the same thing with the candidates that we're working with to figure out, is this, you know, a person and a personality that's going to fit well with that organization and the culture that they've created.
Hey, man, that's awesome. Awesome. Now, you say this is also your ministry. How so?
Absolutely. Well, I believe that we have such an amazing, we have an ability to impact the lives of people every day. You know, from the moment we're working with a potential client as a business leader, and they're stressed and they're frustrated with whatever may be happening in their business, and they've either had a bad experience then gone through three employees trying to find the right one, or they're going through growth mode and they're stressed trying to figure out, how do I get the right people in place? We have the ability to impact them, and we're able to live out our faith in what we do because we're able to share the story of where we come from and the value that we find in our business and in our lives. And the same thing happening with candidates. We're able to demonstrate the love of Christ in that. You know, what we have found is, and you know, research is showing that being dissatisfied in a job actually has greater negative effects on personal health and mental health than being unemployed. And so we have people all over that are in jobs and careers that they hate, and it's negatively impacting their families. It's negatively impacting their finances and their health. And we have this unique opportunity to help them in their lives and in their livelihood by connecting the right people with the right companies. And if we do that in a loving fashion, and we do that in a way that's not just simply for them, but that glorifies God in what we do and the way that we speak and how we behave, then this is an amazing ministry opportunity in what we're doing, because it's not just about the dollars and cents and looking at a bottom line of a P&L. It's really about how we're able to impact lives. And if we know we're impacting the lives for Him with a capital H, and not just impacting the lives for us and a business, then we're doing it for the right reason.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. And I can't agree more that, you know, I mean, I've talked to people, you know, that had to, and we'll get into some of this, but, you know, they had to let somebody go. So, well, it's just eliminating this one position. Well, there is a family depending on that one position. So it's not just one person that you're impacting. It could be four or five, you know, I mean,
That's exactly right. You know, and I won't derail us too far on this, but that's one of the things that I talk about when I'm doing some, you know, kind of leadership and employment coaching around that, is we should never take that lightly, because to your point, Bob, you know, just, we have to keep in mind that the moment we let someone go, we are preventing them potentially from having food on that table. I mean, the idea of waking up tomorrow with no job to go to, no way to earn a paycheck, that is scary for most of us. Yep. And we have to take very seriously whenever we are potentially going to put someone through that. But the beauty of it is, there is a very loving way to exit someone from our organization. And there are ways that we can do that in a very healthy way if we are strategic about it.
Amen. Before we get into letting people go, I want to just, this has been, since I started doing the research for today's interview with you, you know, as I shared in our opening statement, in this environment that we're in today, the business environment with the outstanding economic returns and all that, with more jobs basically than people to fill them, how can a company know that they are recruiting or hiring the right person for the jobs they have available?
That's a great question. And really what this comes back to is understanding and defining the culture of your organization. One of the biggest errors that we see business leaders face, and this is a business of all size and any size, is we tend to want to hire to a skill set. We need someone that has 10 years experience in our industry, or we want someone that that has done this job before for another company, or we want to bring someone from a competitor. What we lose sight of in all of that is, how is this person going to fit well into our company culture? Because there's not a skill set out there, Bob, that cannot be taught. Every right. skill can be taught to the right person. Mm-hmm. And so how do we know we're bringing the right people in? Well, we have to make sure we have a process in place and we're not just doing this haphazardly. And we need to make sure that within that process, it starts with understanding, defining our company culture. Because once we understand the company culture, then we can create what we call internally, we call it the ideal candidate profile. We have the culture, and now we can look for what's the perfect type of person that's going to fit well into this. Then we can go out in the market and try to find people that fit well into the environment that we're in. And that's how they're going to be successful and we are going to be successful. But if we just simply focus on a skill set, then someone may come in and not require a lot of training and they can do an okay job. But if they don't fit well with the culture, it's going to create a very toxic environment over time.
Yeah, it sure does. You know, I've spoken at a couple business conferences and stuff, and my emphasis on team building was, you know, look within. I mean, you already have people that are comfortable in your company. You're comfortable with them. Instead of hiring some outside person to come in that has to learn the culture of your company,
right?
Why not promote from within? You know, and the examples I give would be, okay, you have this you got this huge, you know, merger going to take place or this huge contract. And you're going to be given this big presentation, but working a year on it. Mm-hmm. And your vice president of operations, he's the one who's in charge of putting everything together. And the weekend before the presentation, he has a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Out of the picture. What are you, Mr. CEO, going to do? You know, and if you had relied completely on this guy, without bringing anybody else in from other departments and all that, and without training them to step up and into leadership positions when something tragic like that happens, you're going to lose the deal, you know, yeah. Because you're going to be burning, you know, 15-hour days over the weekend trying to catch up on what it is he was going to do. You know, right. But if you hire from within and they're training, let's say, and an example, I said, let's start off base, your receptionist, the first person someone meets when they come into the office. Right. Yeah. The first person they talk to when they call on the phone, you're hiring a receptionist. Okay. Once she gets that portion of her job down, you notice that she's sitting there, you know, really with nothing to do most of the day. Mm-hmm. Maybe have the office manager start training her and helping out with files and things like that. Yeah. And, you know, slowly getting her trained and taking over that officer manager's job when the office manager becomes a department manager.
That's right.
And what are you going to do then? Hire a new receptionist and start the process all over again.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
And start within. But so many people are like, oh, I'm hiring the VP from XYZ company to come in and take over our operations. And like you said, sometimes that leads to a toxic environment.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah. And that's where we have to understand, you know, what's the culture that we have in our business and what's going to make sense here. And again, that's where we're looking at, you know, the skill set. So we look for three things: aptitude, personality, and commitment. But the focus is on that personality, followed by commitment, and then aptitude. Because if you have the right personality and the right commitment to this organization and to this career path, then the skill set, the aptitude side, those things can generally be taught. Now, we do have to be careful not to put someone in a position that just is not going to fit their right. skill set. Yeah. But if they've been with our company for a while, hopefully we know that. You know, yeah. Where we see this mistake often made is this is sort of this epidemic in business. For some reason, we love to put great salespeople in sales management roles.
Oh,
and those
yeah.
are two completely different skills.
Yeah.
And so we've got to be very careful of that, of understanding the type of skill set we have in someone, and don't promote just for the sake of promoting. But when you have someone, and that's a great example. You have someone that's been a receptionist and they've done some great administrative duties. Maybe they filled in for the office manager when they've been on vacation. And you've got this opportunity to develop them. Then your office manager position is taken care of. And
yeah.
so then you can kind of start that whole process over again, because you are teaching and training and developing the people within the organization every day as yeah. part of the culture of the organization.
Yep. Amen. Now, you work mainly with businesses in recruiting potential employees and staff, not so much the individual person.
That is correct. So our main focus is helping a company find great people, not so much helping great people find a company to work for. And so there is a bit of a variance on that. You know, we always love talking to great candidates that are out in the market. But our main focus is helping a company and helping the business owner or business leader find, you know, take that off of their task list of going out and getting and finding, identifying great people to work in the company.
Okay. Well, how do you help the company find those people that the company needs?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the way I always say this, Bob, is that we don't have any tools that everyone else doesn't have access to. We maybe just have slightly better access to those tools. And so what I mean by that is, you know, right now, one of the largest job boards out in the market is on Indeed. We post our jobs to Indeed just like everybody else does. Mm-hmm. Now, a few differences. One is we generally have better placement on those job boards. The other is we are analyzing the different locations that our jobs are posted on a weekly basis. So what we are trying to identify at all times is where is the best performance? Where are we getting the most candidates? Where are we getting the best candidates? And where are we hiring candidates from? And what I mean by that is, and that's really the most important metric that we're looking at. If, let's say, our last three hires have come from candidates that came from LinkedIn, but we're getting a third as many candidates on LinkedIn as we are Indeed. Well, LinkedIn is still the higher performing location. That's where we're getting the best candidates. And so we are monitoring that every week, trying to make sure that we are investing our resources in the right place. And everyone else out there can do that. And, you know, it's free advice. Feel free to use that. The difference is when we are recruiting at the scale that we are, that is part of our kind of core process in our company. Whereas if your core process or your core function is around insurance or retail or wealth management, that's not something you have time to worry about or deal with. And we do, because that's what we're focused on, is making sure that we're using those resources properly.
Amen. Amen. You know, you've seen the news reports and read the articles and stuff where there is a lot of backlash for standing up for Christian values in today's society. I mean, yeah. How is that affecting the workplace environment as well?
Well, I think what's happened is it's made people, I'm going to use the word scared. You know, especially where we see this is in these small businesses. You know, small business owners have sort of become scared of being open about their faith. And it's a real shame, because we absolutely have every right in the world to be open about our faith and our business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we shouldn't be ashamed of that. And a couple of things that I think people have to understand. One is, if we are going to be open about our faith and the way that we operate our business, and we're going to operate it with biblical principles, then we have to be consistent with that. And that's no different than anything else that we would do, but there has to be consistency in how we're operating the business, and that we truly are doing it under biblical principles at all times. Now, are we going to fail occasionally? Sure we are, because we're all sinners. We've fallen short of the glory. But we've got to try to remain consistent with that. And then the other thing that I think is important for us to understand is that we are not a Christian, a parent, business owner,
Right.
We are that. Our faith has to be the fabric of who we are at all times. Amen. And I'll admit, Bob, that's one of the things that I struggled with up until just a few years ago, because to me it was like, well, I've got sort of my, you know, the faith side of my life, and the family side of my life, and the business side of my life, and I was putting commas between all of those things. Mm. And what I ultimately, you know, finally realized and really embraced is that me being a Christian and me loving the Lord, that is the umbrella of everything that I do. And if it's not part of my business, then it's not part of everything that I do. And so it's really helped shift my mindset into understanding God has blessed me with an amazing wife, amazing children. And as part of that, God has blessed me with this business. And it's just as all of my other resources aren't mine, they're His. The same holds true with this company. This is His business. I've just been asked to steward it. Amen. And if I don't steward it properly, there's no reason for Him to ask me to continue down this path. And so we as business leaders have to understand it is absolutely okay for us to be open and honest about our faith. And as long as we're consistent and it's truly part of who we are at all times.
Amen. Amen. I can't agree more. Now, how can companies make their policies clear, especially relating to their Christian values? Mm-hmm. How can they make their policies clear to potential applicants and not be labeled as discriminatory in their hiring practices?
Well, the first thing that I generally recommend is go back to your core values. And if you've not created those or not defined them, really, you don't create core values as much as you simply define what's already there. The first thing you need to do is go define those core values. And just briefly, let me explain what I mean by that. Core values are not something that you, if you're an established business, they're not something you say, okay, well, this is who we are going to be. The core values are something you sit back and say, who are we? You know, how do we make decisions? How do we operate? And that really is the definition of what your core values are. So the first thing that I recommend is define that in your core values. If you operate under biblical principles, then that should be part of your core values. So one of my first core values is that we operate under under biblical leadership. And that means that every decision we make goes back to our core values. And if it doesn't fall into the 5 to 7 core values that you have as a company, that's not the right decision for you. So that's the first thing that I generally recommend is make sure that it's really defined clearly as part of who you are. You know, even in your mission statement and your vision statement, these are all places you can make sure that it's very open who we are as a business. And one of the things that I've seen work very well is whenever you're going through the vetting process with a candidate, if those things are clearly defined about who you are and it's truly part of the culture of your organization, share that with potential candidates. And it doesn't have to be something that you're in their face with it, but you can just simply share, you know, a single sheet that says, hey, here's our mission, our vision, here are the core values, and here's a little bit of, about our company and about our ownership. I just want to make sure you're comfortable with this. Amen. Something as simple a statement as that, and when they see on this that one of your core values is biblically based leadership, when they see an overview or a bio of your owners, and you talk about you know, that your faith is really the guidance that you use to lead this business, when you are open about those things, then those candidates understand what they're getting into, and you then can be open with them to sort of spark some of that dialogue. To say, I want to make sure you're comfortable with this, because it's not uncommon in our business to have clients come in and ask to be prayed for. It's not uncommon for, you know, my local pastor to come in and for us to have lunch and for him to come pray for us in this business. We're going to pray before meetings. And, you know, you're not required by any means, but we actually have a group that has a Bible study that meets on Wednesday mornings here in the office. When you can be open, nothing that I said there is illegal. Not a bit of it is illegal.
Amen.
But what you do is you just let them know, I need you to understand where we come from. And that doesn't mean that you have to be a Christian to work here, but you need to understand that is part of the fabric of who we are as a business.
Amen. That's awesome. I love it. I love it. Now, what are some of the basic principles that a hiring manager or boss needs to know in order to effectively lead a team in today's employment culture?
That's a really great question. I train this and teach this to people all over the country, and there are some basic elements to human nature that I believe that kind of outline some really kind of primary principles of leadership. And really what it comes down to is, you know, if you think internally about what you're looking for and what you need to be led well, what we're doing is we're just reversing that over to say, how am I going to reflect that to others? So one of the first things that we talk about is the need to create clear definition. We've got to define clearly what's expected, what makes someone successful, and how to be successful in their role. And then the next thing we have to do is provide autonomy to actually go do that. So I've defined for you what's expected. Now I'm going to set you free to go do it. Give you the freedom to be to succeed. Give you the freedom to fail, which is a really, really tough one. You know, we've got proof every day of how God allows that to happen, right? Because of the lessons that are learned through those trials. And the same holds true for us in business and everything else. If we give people the opportunity to succeed, but we also give them the freedom to fail, there are some amazing lessons that can be learned through that. The third thing, so we define, we provide autonomy, and then we encourage sociability. We, you know, part of our human nature is we need a little bit of sociability. You know, Adam needed Eve and Jesus walked around with 12 other guys. There is a need for a social aspect as part of our human nature.
Amen.
And so we have to encourage that in the workplace. We can't expect to just isolate and silo everyone in our business and then think that they're going to somehow be effective in their role. We need to encourage and promote sociability in the workplace because it's those relationships that that generally actually create the retention and the loyalty that we're looking for. So we've got the three. We're going to define autonomy, sociability, and then the last is recognition. Mm-hmm. We've got to let people know when they do a job well. And yeah. Sometimes what we're letting them know is that they just simply hit the status quo. But the whole purpose of recognition is to create repeatable behaviors.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time with today's interview as I've been talking with Kyle Gorman with Gorman Recruiting as we talked with him about how to build a high-performing team. Now, he's been giving us some great insights into how to effectively do this. You know, often as managers and leaders, whether in business or ministry, we do what we think is right rather than tried and proven techniques. Kyle and his group are experts at looking at your organization and identifying the exact things that you should be doing. If you want to get better at team building, if you want your organization to function at a higher level, you need to get in touch with Kyle Gorman at the links down below. Be sure to listen to his podcast for some additional insights as he interviews other business leaders and gleans information from them as well. And be sure to come back tomorrow as we'll conclude our two-part interview with Kyle Gorman. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.